everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino is back again at the Manor here to talk about the third week, the fourth episode of Joe Millionaire. For some reason, we've come back again. Here I am back with the woman who is following this saga. Here she is. It's Jenny Hundredair. Jenny Autumn!
It's not for what reason. There is a reason we're doing this, Rob. It's for richer or poorer, okay? We committed ourselves to this process. We knew what we were signing up for, and we have very loyal, dedicated listeners that are pushing us forward. They're like, you know, they're like the production, people behind the scenes that are trying to keep us, you know, keep us together here. They're really hot as well. So, yeah.
Jenny, my feelings about this show can be best summed up by this clip.
I'm not cut out for this. I'm really not. And I'm ready to call it quits.
I'm ready. I can't do this.
No, Rob, no.
I'm walking away.
No.
I can't even.
Rob, I understand this is not the kind of thing you're used to, but this is the only way. You have to go through this process of podcasting this show. You're going to learn something about yourself through this journey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So just to recap, in case you're just joining us, this is Joe Millionaire. Joe Millionaire. Season 3, episode 4. We need to get a Kiva maybe in a couple of weeks. And just if you're just joining us, if you don't watch the show and you just here to listen to the podcast, you just like hearing the sound of Jenny and I talk about this show, sit down, okay?
Grab a snack.
Two women are gone after tonight's episode. One got too drunk and left, and the other got snitched on that she said she wanted to have sex with some production person.
Yes.
That's what happened. That's
how you get eliminated on this show.
Good night, everybody.
At this point, there have been more like non-traditional eliminations.
Yeah. One girl
proper elimination.
Recognized the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justice for Doris at this point. Like,
let's bring back Dancing Doris.
Yeah.
Bring back one of the actual women that's here to fall in love, okay? Listen, not just somebody who's here to get drunk.
Doris's spot, okay?
Or to F the one of the production people. Yeah. What is this, Jenny?
It's Joe Millionaire, baby. It's Joe Millionaire, baby. For richer or poorer. This is 2021, 22.
Yeah.
Filmed in 2021.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're the women that are here for the wrong reasons. They're really fun wrong reasons. You know what I mean? Like, they're mixing it up.
Yeah. You're here for the wrong reasons, okay? So you're not just, we don't want people that are just here for the free booze and the hot production people. Not the right reasons, ladies.
They're going to just have to start getting uglier production people. Because this is going to become a problem.
Yeah. Who let these hot guys on the set? We need some uggos working on this show. Yeah.
I didn't realize that the hot people were behind the cameras. I thought that they were supposed to be the talent and all the that's where they throw the uggos.
Yeah. Yeah. The Winston. Get a. You need a. What were you doing on career day? How'd you end up on that that end of the camera?
Missed opportunity. I mean, he probably isn't behind the camera anymore after this. Like, this is the Winston coming out party.
Maybe he should have been one of the Joes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could literally report what his income was. He's employed by the show.
Oh, my God.
I love this show, Rob. This is my favorite day of the week.
Yeah.
This is my favorite moment of the week is when we come together and say, what happened here?
What was this?
What was
because
this?
Because this was a night where we brought the women to a fake movie premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I must say, there was a moment tonight during this episode where I thought I must be the target demographic for this show because I think that I am
a person
probably,
with a podcast.
Well, that anyone that can amplify the voice of the show, for one, but I think I am the only person that watched this show that was. Even for a second, fooled that this might actually be a real movie.
Well, okay, so they go to the premiere of Love, Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big movie person, Rob. So, like, I thought it looked really, really cheesy, the little movie poster we kept seeing the glimpses of on, like, the red carpet.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds like a really bad, dumb movie. And I am so gullible that at this point, I'm not even thinking.
Not about deceiving women, this show.
Well,
no, that's not. That's what, we're not doing
they keep
that anymore.
Saying it, Rob.
That was the old Joe Millionaire.
I come here every week and I feel there's a little bit of deception going on. But alas, I was having moments where I was like, are they're watching a movie?
Yeah. So, okay, so we're like, ladies, we're going to a movie premiere tonight. Like, okay, all right, get dressed. Everybody, we're going to a movie premiere. And I'm like, well, what are we doing here? What is this going to be? Because I'm thinking, is this going to be like one of these things where like a la Big Brother of like, are we have some sort of like a tie in to like an upcoming Fox film where like when the Big Brother contestants went to go watch Dear Evan Hansen, is there going to be some sort of Dear Evan Marriott? Are we going to have some sort of... Is there going to be...
That's for the OGs. Yeah. That's for the OGs.
That's for you. That was for you. And, like, are we going to go, like, do some sort of, like, an actual movie time? But as we got to the premiere, and we were at this empty, lifeless theater, I said, what are we doing? What are we doing here? What is this going to be? Are we just going to like pretend that they're going to watch a movie?
And the movie poster looks like probably what you guys would have gotten if you had bought one off of Fiverr, like for Renap. Like I was like, this looks like a really bad movie, but we've seen this time and time again on these shows. So I was like, oh my God, they're promoting some sort of really crappy movie.
Yeah.
This is going straight into the crappy movie diaper. But is that enough for Nap? We've mentioned four times already.
Yeah, well, Jenny, you're reading my mind because that I feel like that Steven is somebody who reminds me a lot of my podcast co-host, Akiva Winokur.
I can't tie a bow tie. I can't tie a regular tie. Hell, I can barely tie my shoes.
Yeah, he can't even tie his shoes. So that Akiva must feel so seen.
Yeah, he too could be like Stephen McBee. That's like an inspirational tale for Akiva, really. It's like, you know what? Stephen McBee, he also can't tie his shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so. Look at the honeys he's pulling, which is apparently what Akiva's looking for.
I mean, he has a lot in common. Can't tie his shoes, plenty of money. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. I don't know if he's spoon fed, but we'll get to
we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. So everybody, all right, red carpet comes in and take your pictures with Chaz, the Hollywood stylist.
I felt like they kind of yada yada Chaz because it was like that was like, oh, like you're gonna the ladies are getting dresses and a top Hollywood stylist, and then like they just showed a couple of clips and then it just said Chaz. Like, is Chaz like a well known?
No,
Is that a name that I'm supposed to know?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know if he's a brand name. Yeah.
They talked up a top Hollywood stylist, but I just felt like they just kind of tossed in Chaz and didn't really explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that they just like brought in a guy, and Chaz might not even be the real name.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Joe Millionaire. Like, take nothing at face value. Everything is a lie.
Potentially fake birthdays, fake incomes. I don't know what's real anymore.
Yeah.
But I will say that so Kurt did Steven's bow tie, and I love how he was like chirping him for like being like, oh, Steven can't even tie a bow tie. But like in all of the clips I saw, like the bow tie was like completely crooked. And he's mm-hmm. just like, good job, Kurt. Like, give yourself a pat on the back for doing a crooked bow tie.
Yeah. Well, look, Kurt, that he is he has so much swag, Jenny.
Yes. That's all we hear, is that this man has swag. He knows how to tie a bow tie.
For sure. So. For sure. Okay.
Must have money.
All right. So we bring everybody in to go to the movie theater. Okay. And so we are going to get everybody here. All the women are very excited. And of course, it's not Joe Millionaire unless we are over-serving these women.
I love
it's open like, bar at the movie theater.
Open bar. But I swear to God, this show only serves champagne and shots. Mm-hmm. That is the only two forms of alcohol on this show. I've not seen a proper cocktail. Maybe at the Honky Tonk bar, they might have had beer. I think there's actually like there was a shot of Sarah Rose going, is there beer in there? Which is the right question to ask. But they're always drinking champagne or shots. Like, there's nothing in between. And I just love the like juxtaposition of them like going into the theater with like their little champagne flutes full of like champagne. I'm sure it's not real champagne. It's sparkling wine. It's fine. And then like the paper bags of popcorn, and like people were like putting the M&Ms in them. Like, I'm like, this is such a weird pairing. Like, this is like the salt and vinegar chips and the champagne or the white wine or whatever it was. Like,
yeah.
Is this a classy? I don't know. Like, is that what they do at real movie premieres? Do you get a champagne flute and then a bag of popcorn?
I don't know.
I've never been.
Yeah. I don't think you're like really like drinking heavily at a movie premiere.
Well, they said, really, Rachel, we need you to give us some content, okay? Episode 2 was a little sleepy. Rachel, we need you. You know, the cotillion was a hit. They're looking into the future, and they said, okay, we need to get more champagne.
Yeah. So, all right, all the women are there. Sarah Rose, she is still vying for Kurt's attention. You know what really irks me, Jenny, about all this?
Mm. Yeah.
So, two nights of this saga with Sarah Rose, and we never heard what the letter said.
What did it say? At this point, I'm convinced it was written in crayon, and it said, I like you. Do you like me too? And then there's a box with yes and a box with no and a box with maybe.
Why couldn't we know what it said? I'm sure it was so out there.
I don't know. But she says things without ever really saying them. So I'm not convinced that this letter was, you know, like comprehensible. I don't know.
Yeah. It must have been for them to not even show it.
Or like show him reading it or even talking about it.
Yeah. All right. So Sarah Rose is in play.
Yeah.
Carolyn. Sure. Caro is in play also. Caro. Okay. She is going to kiss Kurt on the mouth in front of the other women.
Yeah. So she goes from saying, you know, I want you to go and make connections with the other women because I want you to, when you choose me eventually.
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why would you say that? And then immediately is just like, I am going to mark my property in front of everyone, but you should really talk to these women, but also, mm-hmm. yeah. Right. So that's an alpha move, you know?
Yeah, was an alpha move. I get the sense she may not have actually wanted Kurt to sample any of the other women.
Yes. So do you think that was like an attempt to just come off as like really chill girl? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like when you say to somebody like, oh, make yourself at home, but you don't expect them to go like through all the cabinets.
Take their pants off.
Right. And, like, yeah. Right. Like, yeah. I didn't really mean it. Like, you know, just like I was just being nice.
That's just what you say.
Just what you say. But okay. All right. So,
or they like make yourself at home and they like literally move in.
Yeah.
That's your home now.
All right. So we get everybody there and we're like, okay, now we're actually going to show them. Like, all right, they're going to show them something. What are they going to show them? And Martin says, you're in for a real treat because remember when we asked you a bunch of questions, now we're going to air them in front of the guys.
I love confessional tapes being used nefariously.
Yes.
That is fun for me. It's very rare that we get to see stuff like this. I know I've mentioned it on one of the previous recaps we've done of this show, but on F-Boy Island, that's another
another
thing. Cause there would be like people who saying like, no, I'm a nice guy. And then like, shoot to the like, you know, audition tapes or like the casting process of them being like, yeah, I pick up girls all the time. Like I love that.
But Jenny, did they play those tapes for the women on F-Boy Island or they just cut to like a flashback on F-Boy Island?
No, they would show it like at like the ceremony. Yeah. But this is after like people were already getting the boot. So it was just to, like, embarrassing.
You got effed, boy.
Yeah, exactly. So, but a lot of the stuff we had like already seen. So yeah. I did kind of feel like they just put a black and white filter on like most of the first episode of the show.
This was very meta, right? Because we were watching the people on Joe Millionaire react to Joe Millionaire.
Yeah. Like watching what it was going to look like edited and produced on the very first episode. Like we saw all of this content basically already.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just in black and white so that it looked like a movie.
Very artsy. I don't know. Artsy, yeah. Film.
It was very artsy.
And then Jenny, we had a lot of the women said things, but I felt like they went to a great length and I don't think that anybody really said anything that was particularly damning. I think a woman said, I want a Mercedes.
She said she wanted a man who drives a Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, but then, so apparently what made this worse was she was clarifying, I drive a Mercedes. So I wanted, I think it was a brand loyalty thing where she was like, my man better drive Mercedes. We're a Mercedes family or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things. And I think another woman said something about like a nice ring.
Yeah. Well, one
it didn't really seem that bad.
One woman said that she's gassy.
Yes, that was Whitney.
Yes. And another woman said she doesn't wear underwear.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All of the real edgy stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Not the gassy reveal. Kurt's sitting next to her too. And he's like, he like looks over and he's looking at her like hands going into the bag of popcorn being like,
hey, slow down. Slow down.
I've heard you get a little gassy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sitting right next to you. I don't think this is a very ventilated space.
Yes.
We have HEPA filters here.
We're a very, very small movie theater.
Yeah.
Okay. So they finish watching the movie and they're like, oh my God. Now, ladies, we have another surprise for you. It's time for the awards. Like, what?
This is how all movie premieres go, right? Like, after you watch the movie, then it's straight to awards season.
Yes, straight to the awards season, because we are going to give out two awards here tonight. One for the best original screenplay, which is the woman who was most herself. Hold on. That is not what a screenplay means.
I wouldn't that mean like it's a well written most cases fictional work.
So if anything, like this should be like best documentary.
Because like that at least is you know, you did the best job of telling your story.
Best original screenplay.
The person that was true to themselves, which is apparently what screenplays are all about. And then the other award was
actress.
Best actress.
Okay.
I love that Martin continues this thing where he says something and then the other thing is, and this one is not. So he's like, the best original screenplay goes to who was true to themselves. And then the best actress award goes to who was not. It's just like, this person is rich and this person is not.
Well, Jenny, I think this is very relatable because, you know, you and I sometimes podcast about shows that are great. And sometimes
we do not. Yes. That's all you need to say. Leave it up to interpretation, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know, this was earlier in the episode, but Andrea, I believe her name is. We were just calling her Andrea with two E's last week, so sorry.
Shout out Andrea.
Andrea. She said it.
Yeah.
She said both of these men have money because all the, all Martin said was this guy has is worth $10 million and the other one is not.
Yeah. And she said he might have $100 million.
Exactly. Listen, I love her. The optimism is overflowing. She's, you know, she's like, maybe that's the true reveal is that the other one actually has even more money.
Okay. I guess anything is possible.
At this point,
this
I think
Joe Millionaire. Where fairy tales come true. Okay. So the women vote. And then they give out the awards. And the winner for best original screenplay is Whitney.
Yes. Listen, fart jokes always land, okay?
She doesn't know how to do anything but be herself.
Yeah. The gassy reveal, it, you know what? Maybe a little embarrassing, but it endeared herself.
So congratulations to Whitney, winner of the Ladies' Choice Award for Best Original Screenplay. And then the winner.
Congratulations to Whitney for this being the first episode that I think she was featured in.
Yes.
I did not remember.
She doesn't have
her
much story. Okay.
Imagine like your first like actual moment on this episode is like a confessional of you saying, I get a little gassy. That's your first moment.
But it was an award-winning gassy episode. Okay. Then, Jenny, it's award season, prestigious honor. The Joe Millionaire Ladies' Choice Award for Best Actress is none other than Envelope, please.
Oh, I hope this is correct. Get the right name.
It is Andrea.
Andrea.
Yes. And then I felt like Andrea should have really like given an acceptance speech Meryl Streep doesn't walk up there and says, what, like, oh, I feel terrible about myself. Own it.
Yeah. Well, she kind of mumbles. She's like, oh, I'll take it as a compliment. Like,
yeah, I'll learn from this.
Yeah, as a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you earned it. You're the best actress.
Maybe I need to not talk so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, Andrea, don't let them get you down.
Yeah. Don't let them stifle your sparkle, girl. Okay.
Yes. Get it.
Drive that Mercedes.
Yeah, it's award season.
You got that Mercedes yourself, okay?
Yeah.
Can we talk about how the other thing is that the winners get apparently, in addition to these lovely awards.
Yes.
They get a gold coin. Which is like, is this for the arcade at the movie theater? I don't know.
Yeah, all of a sudden we've stumbled into Pirate Master. Cash out a gold coin. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get the gold coin, which represents an hour with the men, and when that hour occurs is up to the women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is never to be brought up again.
Can we get Winston from the prop department here on this? That okay, so if you were going to give, all right, so now we're gonna basically have a fire token here in Joe Millionaire. And so it's gonna be a gold coin that we're gonna give the women. And what is the gold coin gonna do? It's gonna buy an hour of time.
It buys time, yeah.
Yeah.
At any point in which you wish to use it, it could be in the middle of a date with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
You could just
crash it,
pop that into the slot and turn it for a gumball and you're in.
Boom. Jenny, what I loved about this is how incensed the women were. Not since Danny found out about the hourglass on Survivor have we seen reality TV contestants so pissed about a new power in the game.
Yeah. They're like, well, I guess they again, this is apparently not about deceiving women, but they literally, you know, rewarded someone who apparently did the worst job with the option of getting more time with the men. And so the women are all pissed and they're like, I should have been more fake. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing here? I don't get rewarded for being genuine.
Yeah. They're pissed.
Yeah. I mean, listen, coins in reality shows are any sort of currency is very controversial. So,
yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely something that could, you know, make people
make or break.
Yeah. upset. The coins of destiny. Okay. We get done with the awards, Jenny. Okay. And now, I don't know, these things get like really sloppy now.
Again, they're still at the movie theater, I believe. Yeah. And they're just like in the lobby.
Yeah. From what I understand, Sam Moore tells me about some of these Hollywood stories about how like post-award shows, like the stars, they just party all night.
Yeah. Well... That's what happened here. Looked like a really great party.
Yeah.
Just hanging around in, I'm sure that the stars at these Hollywood movie premieres definitely just loiter in the lobby of the movie theater.
Do shots.
Do movie theaters do shots?
Sure. Sure.
It's not something I do often. So
yeah.
I just didn't know that you could do shots at the movie theater.
So, all right.
I can go to more movies if I can do shots.
That's how they're going to get you to go back to the movies because there's basically shots and just like nonstop partying. Rachel is going to grab Steven. Steven is the first to notice. Rachel is acting a little sporadic.
Mm-hmm. He says he calls it first. He says maybe a little too much alcohol.
Maybe. Perhaps. Okay.
I mean, it's up for debate.
Meanwhile, though. Okay. So Sarah Rose is going to talk to Kurt. One of the many interactions she has with Kurt in this episode. Okay.
Yes.
All right. But
I leave them all very confused about what she's getting at, though.
I don't know what she's talking about.
When they talk, I don't understand what they're saying. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes two people just don't have like communication chemistry. And so when they're talking, it's like they're saying words to each other, but I am not getting, I don't walk away from the conversation understanding where they are with each other. And which makes me think that they're not walking away from these conversations knowing where they are with each other either. So,
right. Did somebody tell Kurt he's not allowed to tell Sarah Rose that he is not super into her?
Well, here's the thing, and this is why this is confusing to me, is normally, like, they want to keep people on the show a little bit longer if they are kind of producing a little bit of drama.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always, like, situations with, like, a Sarah Rose type where, you know, she's kind of, you know, she pulled Kurt aside like right before an elimination and gave him a letter. Like, you know, she's getting into a little bit of an argument with Calla. Like, those are the people that like production is like trying to push them to keep around a little bit longer. And so perhaps they have been saying to Kurt, like, listen, just like keep entertaining this.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Sarah Rose.
She's going to give us a moment. Trust you. Trust us. Trust us.
Just hold on.
We know what we're doing
Winston
here.
Winston thinks she's great.
Not so. Our first rodeo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Kurt and Carolyn have a beat together. Carolyn's asking him like, hey, what's in your head? And he's like, I just need to, you know, he's being a little like coy with Carol.
Well, here's the thing. Like, and we kind of already said this, is like she basically told him, like, listen, I'm confident in what we have. I want you to be open to all of the other women and get to know them. And then immediately upon doing that is like, hey, why aren't you paying attention to me? Do you want to talk to me? You want to hang out?
But also not really. Psych.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said that, but you were supposed to say, oh, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that. I only have eyes for you. Why would I talk to anyone else?
Okay, so Kurt goes and has a conversation with a woman named Amanda. Yes. And Amanda is supposedly very close friends with Carolyn, with Kara.
Yes. So she, I guess Amanda is like apprehensive because she does, you know, she does feel a little bit of an interest to Kurt, but from everything that Carolyn is saying, it sounds like it's a done deal. And so it's confusing. Like, is Kurt even open to meeting or, you know, getting to know any of these other women? Because she's friends with Carolyn and Carolyn has been making it very clear that this is kind of locked up at this point.
Yeah. So this is kind of a weird thing that happens. So Amanda is with Kurt. And so Amanda wants to sort of say like, hey, like, are you totally with Carolyn? Because she's my friend and it's kind of weird. So if you are only with Carolyn, then just let me know. And he's like, no, I'm not only with Carolyn. And he's like, so they end up making out, Jenny.
Mm-hmm. The old movie theater lobby makeout.
Yep. Post premiere, star of the film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where everyone wants their first kiss.
Yeah. But then
the scent of popcorn and champagne lingering.
Sure. I feel like this was like a little bit of entrapment because then Amanda like goes like right to Carolyn and says, hey, I just want to clear the air about what just happened right now, because I asked Kurt if he was like only into you and he said like he wasn't, and then we made out. And Carolyn did not love this.
This was such a weird
the
sequence
lack of respect.
Well, it was such a weird sequence of events to me, because as they were walking away, as Amanda and Kurt were walking away after they just made out, Amanda says to Kurt, let's just keep that between you and I.
Okay.
And he says, oh, yeah, like that's going to happen. Like basically being like,
he's a realist. Travels. He's a realist. Yeah. When Steven last week is like, well, I don't know, maybe that won't upset the house. He's like, yeah, right. You idiot.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is, you know, Steven's the cowboy, but this was not first Kurt's first rodeo. Like he's very much used to this. Yeah, so it was really strange to me that Amanda was the one being like, let's keep this between you and I. And like, fast forward 30 seconds, she's at a table with Carolyn being like, yeah, so I'm just going to get this out in the open.
Yeah.
Like, no, Kurt and I just made out.
Did Carolyn catch them? Because in all honesty, like, what was Carolyn doing if she wasn't staring down Kurt?
Yeah, I don't know what else there is to do in this lobby with like high top tables. Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's nothing. Yeah, there's nobody else there except for the production people. Right. It's not like she's going to talk to Steven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, definitely not.
Yeah. So maybe I wonder if she got spotted and then Amanda folded.
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe someone tipped Amanda off and said, listen, Carolyn noticed that you guys were off together for a while. And, you know, like you said, it seems that Amanda and Carolyn were maybe closer friends in the manor. So the guilt set in, and Amanda even says it. She's like, I feel guilty because I can't tell if Kurt is really looking to be in with anyone else. And so, you know, the guilt set in. And so she's just like, okay, I'm just going to clear the air and just, like, get it out there.
So things get hot for Kurt. And so he instantly folds.
I'm not cut out for this. I'm really not. And I'm ready to call it quits.
All right. Kurt's out, everybody. We have no show. Bad news.
What do you think the show looks like if Kurt quits?
If Kurt quits the show, what do they do? I guess.
Do they just carry on with
Steven? And then I guess maybe you don't know if he's rich or poor.
Yeah.
Or really rich or just regular rich.
Or just, just less rich.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Or, like, do you think that, like, do you think Martin's just like, you don't know my bank account and I'm single?
Maybe it's me. Or maybe Winston has to step in.
Honestly, at this point, anyone, like, these women are probably just like, just pull somebody else in. I need an interest here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Kurt tries to hedge a little bit on this, Jenny. He's like, look, the women are asking me questions and they're legitimate questions. Okay. Those are fair questions they're asking me.
I mean, it's like the good political thing to say.
Yeah.
he's learned probably lessons, you know. Mm-hmm. Kurt's a little bit older than Steven, which is something that doesn't get, you know, talked about very often. So again, not his first rodeo. He maybe, you know, has had some of these situations before. He seems to allude to that. He's been this guy before.
Yeah. There was an incident that happened in the past.
Yeah.
We don't know if it involved orange juice potentially.
Yeah. There is some trauma around the orange juice for sure.
Certainly.
So good.
Certainly. Okay. So the guys are trying to work it out. Meanwhile, we cut back to Rachel. Mm-hmm. Rachel is partying it up. And we get some mentions. Rachel has been drinking all day.
Which is like kind of surprising to me. It's like all day. Mm-hmm. First of all, how long have they been at the movie theater? Like all day? Do they have access to alcohol at the manor all day?
I think that when they are getting dressed, I think there is access to alcohol. From what we understand about Joe Millionaire season 3, the women are allowed to be as intoxicated as they choose to be.
Well, we love freedom.
Yes. So. And based on Rachel's tweets from a couple of weeks back, that there is as much alcohol as you can drink, not a lot of food on the set.
Right. Yeah. I mean, literally, I've seen on this show, I saw Steven and Kurt eat a head of lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen popcorn with M&Ms in it. That's all I've seen eaten.
That's
on
it.
This show.
Okay. So basically, the guys are going to go home. All right. They're leaving.
Are we going to talk about the limo?
Oh, the guy. Yeah. So then the ladies are going.
The guys leave first.
Yeah, they leave first. The guys leave first. And now the ladies are going to head out.
Yes. And apparently, like, there's some sort of, like, I don't know if this is a tradition, but it seemed to be painted as something important where there were shots being done in the limo on the way to the event.
Yes.
And apparently Rachel did not get to partake in the shot taking in the limo on the way there. So on the way home, she's saying, I'm going to do my shot now.
Yeah.
I didn't get to do my shot on the way there.
Yeah.
And the other women are like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
You've already had enough.
Yeah. Now, what is the concern here? Is it like, hey, if she pukes in the limo, we're not getting the deposit back?
Yeah. Do you think they're having to pay for this limo? Mm-hmm. Do you think this is on Martin's tab?
Yeah, this is a big deal when you like rent a limo, especially when you have like a party situation and you're going to get in a limo. Like, the number one thing the limo company is concerned about is, hey, if somebody pukes in here, that's only going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of money. It's the one thing we're worried about here with this limo. You do whatever you want back here, but if one person pukes,
take as many shots as you want.
That's
but,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, vomit and it's done.
You do whatever the hell you want back here. Yeah. No puking. That's our one rule.
Bodily fluids, fine, as long as I don't know about it.
Yeah.
But if you throw up,
yeah,
you own this limo now.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, you break it, you bought it.
So I don't know if, like, who made the call on Rachel can't have a shot, but ultimately, I don't know if David Bloomberg published the rules for how to not lose Joe Millionaire, but I think it's basically, do a shot in the limo or else.
Or, well, I mean, if you truly wanted the rules, it's like maybe do a shot, like one shot, one episode, and then not a shot the next episode. And then a shot the next episode, but not the next episode. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you need to space them out.
Yeah.
So that you're not intoxicated the entire show.
Yeah. Let's just say that Rachel wanted to play her shot in the dark and nobody would let her. I want a shot now. I'm ready now. For a shot. Give me a shot.
I didn't get my shot before. I'm ready for my shot now. It's like,
yeah,
you've been doing shots all day.
And so
there's something about the limo shot. It's special.
She wants the limo shot. And then Rachel comes into the house and is furious.
Yeah. So here's the thing that happens when someone gets a little too intoxicated. There's a point where, you know, the people around them are very aware of how drunk they are.
Yeah.
And they're like, they've just kind of had it. And so it sounds like the tone that was taken with her in the limo was like a little bit like, this girl's had too much. And I think that she was drunk enough that she was acting up,
yeah,
but she was sober enough that she was aware that she was being talked to differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this fueled the meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's a little messed up that you are saying that she was intoxicated because Rachel tells us point blank,
I'm not drunk.
Not drunk.
Drunk.
In fact,
I literally did not drink on purpose.
She literally did not drink on purpose. How could she be drunk?
She chose to not do that shot in the limo. That was her choice.
Yeah. She literally didn't drink on purpose.
Yeah. That's tough. She didn't drink on purpose. She drank on accident.
Oh, wow. But
is that maybe what that means?
Maybe.
I'm not drunk.
But she's not drunk. So which,
anymore.
Yeah. Maybe you think that I was drunk. Now I'm not drunk.
But that's the thing. It's like it's trailing off, and it's just like you're that. That's what I was trying to say, is like you're starting to be aware that, like, you know, maybe you were acting a certain way and people aren't like happy with you. And instead of, you know, kind of dealing with that uncomfortable reality, it's like, you know, it's like the stages of grief or whatever. It's like the denial, yes, right? Like,
yeah, denial, and then what? Yeah, then anger.
Yeah, the denial and anger is happening like very intensely at this point, where, you know, I'm actually not drunk and I'm angry at you for even saying that I am. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it seems like to me.
Yeah. And so the other women have had it with Rachel.
Yes. I think that is just like it kind of, well, we got snippets of it last week where people were like, Rachel doesn't even deserve to be here. I think it was Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne, who's the one who hates her arch nemesis. She had nothing to say during this whole thing.
Listen, I think Suzanne is just protecting her peace at this point. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even say.
She said, I don't want any part of this.
So Rachel, over this, like, basically, like, packs and leaves. She says this, which actually is true.
No one here is a normal person.
That is true. In fairness.
Nobody here is a normal effing person.
In fairness to Rachel, she did call that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did. I mean, she was just trying to get through it. You know, it was tough. I think, like, you give a person, you know, access to, they have nothing to do. I don't think they have their phones. It's like, it sounds kind of boring. What else you can do? Oh my God. Free champagne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I don't know if they have phones. They have like a open bar, and then, you know, then you have these two guys.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Which, I mean, maybe that's just, you know, if you're not that interested, it's like, I got nothing else going on. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that's how, like, the crew becomes enticing. It's like, I have nothing else to keep my attention.
Right, right. They start to fall in love with their captors, is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Kurt and Steven, they think that they need to go talk to the women. They basically, I think Kurt wants to lead the conversation. They're like, look, we're on Joe Millionaire. I have to kiss all the women here, okay? I didn't want to, but now I have. I'm here. I have to.
I'm being.
And everybody
held
has to deal
will.
With it, and everybody has to stop getting mad at me.
Which I felt like the as the men were talking about like what they were gonna say, and like we have to go up to talk to the women and like set things straight. And, you know, I completely agree with what they're saying. It's like, listen, you ladies that end up on the show, you have seen The Bachelor. I'm sure of it. You are familiar with how these shows work.
Yeah.
Like it's not just one person finds one person and then they leave and then that's the end of the show. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get your time if that's how this happens. So I completely agreed. And I felt like they were talking so tough, and I was like, oh, this is going to be like a good like conversation where they're like, listen, like, you need to understand that, you know, we don't like it. It feels weird to us too, but like, we're going to kiss all of you and it's going to be great and it's going to be fun. And then I felt like they kind of like
with the program.
And they were just kind of like, I don't know. I just feel like they kind of wimped out and they didn't really.
They're like, oh, did you hear that straight. Rachel quit? Like, what? Rachel? What?
They talked about her like she was dead. It was really weird to me.
It's like, wow.
I liked her so much. She was a great person.
Yeah.
No, it was really sad that she had to go because, you know, we both really liked her.
We both really liked her, and it was somebody that we could have fallen in love with. And it's just, it's
a weird thing to say.
Shame that she got taken from us so soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It did seem like weirdly somber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we didn't get any, do you take issue with this that we didn't get any, like, Rachel having any comment on her journey? Because, like, when that girl.
Oh, I'm sure if we go on Twitter right now. I'm sure.
Well,
I
checked earlier there, and it was quiet, but, but I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe she's got to wait, but I just thought that it was interesting. Like, the other girl that got cut the first night, like, we at least got like a goodbye confessional from her sort of thing in the limo.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting that we didn't get like a sober thing from Rachel being like, this process wasn't for me. I was maybe relying on alcohol to deal with the anxiety and stress of the situation. Yeah. Ultimately, my life, like, I don't know.
Sure, sure. In a perfect world. She, like, got into a fight
with someone. Like, she didn't get, like, ejected.
Yeah, but tonally, I don't know if that's what this show is. Tonally, I don't know if we're getting, like a clear and sober, like, Rachel. Like, yeah, you know, I learned some good lessons here.
Well, again, I mean, asking too much. I still don't know how this show is going to end. How is it supposed to end?
Yeah.
So I'm asking too much, I guess, for like a clear storyline beginning to end. Give me the full arc for everyone.
Yeah. Jenny, you can, you know, talk about those things, but remember,
don't ask.
Yeah.
I'll ask you every week, Rob, what do you think is happening here?
Yeah, we don't know. Okay. Are you ready for a boat date?
Yeah, I love a
five
good
on
boat
two.
Date. Yeah. The classic 5-on-2. Everyone knows.
Yeah. Jenny, I feel like that we didn't really make a big deal out of who was going and who wasn't going. It was just like, okay, we're going on a boat date. And I just felt like we were on the boat date.
Well, they went through who they were choosing, but it was like, confusing, like, to make the connections, because they were like, they said Suzette and Andrea were chosen because they said some questionable stuff from the movie thing, like there some of their confessionals were like a little bit like gold diggery, and then
so you're getting the reward, you're coming with us,
so we're going to reward, because again, that's what happens on the show, is we reward bad behavior,
right? Yeah.
And Sarah, because
she
wrote a letter. And,
yeah, she played the Legacy Advantage last week.
Exactly, she did. And then
Amanda and Calla,
and then they identified those two as like people that both Steven and Kurt were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, we want two people that we really like, one wild card who might cause drama because she's been like, and then these two women that might be gold diggers. It was like just a weird rationale for these five people.
Yeah. You know, Jenny, just to highlight this once again, here we are, episode 4. I have no sense of who Steven might pick.
No.
Yeah.
It's really two different stories where it's like, it's just exciting to have another person in the mix for Kurt at this point, with Amanda kind of being in the picture now.
But he's not the rich guy.
Yeah. Well, but again, Rob, I think that you think that this show is supposed to be more about Steven than it is about Kurt. But I think that they really want us to be equally invested in both of these men and you know, how this turns out,
Jenny,
for them.
How can I be invested in him? He's not worth $10 million. Yeah, I'm only invested in who is the Joe Millionaire.
I'm... Kurt has the more interesting storyline with the women, where it's like Steven has just said a little bit about everyone, kind of, right?
I think he just has a crush on Kurt. Like, he just like, just like a bromance. Just like, oh, like, I think Kurt's the coolest guy ever. I just want to, you know, like,
he knows how to tie a bow tie.
He knows how to tie a bow tie. And it's just like, he can, you know, he can hold a spoon, and he's just like such a cool ponytail, and like, he's the best roommate ever. Love that guy. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I feel like we're no closer to anybody, you know, that Steven could pick.
I mean, Jenny was not even on this episode.
Not even on the episode. Like, yeah. We moved the ball.
Jenny, what happened?
An inch. Yeah, the only thing Jenny said was that she doesn't want to see a scary movie. And understandable. Okay.
I completely relate. But also, what scary movie are you expecting with Love Honestly?
Jenny's literally like shaking.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want her to be shaking.
Yeah. She's been through enough. Okay. She's, all right.
Yeah.
But Yeah, the closest we got to anything with Steven in this episode was that Calla lives in Texas and wants a cowboy. All right, I guess that's something.
I mean, they're just trying to create a storyline for Calla.
Sure.
In terms of, because Calla was like an interest of Kurt, apparently.
Yeah, remember when he like sucked the cake off her thumb?
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, but she could also be in, like an option for Steven.
Yeah. All right, we don't even talk about Steven. Whatever. He's only Joe Millionaire, okay?
That's the thing is, like, I'm not even, like, invested in his journey because we're not really getting a sense of who he's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems, even when he talks about... he's really following those rules. But even when he talks about someone, I just, like, don't... I don't feel it. You know what I mean? Like Kurt, I feel he's definitely interested in these women. You can tell by how he melts down at the movie theater. It's stressing him out that he, you know, likes these women and he's being put in a position where he is the bad guy and doesn't want to hurt feelings.
Doesn't want to be the bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he truly has feelings for just two of these women, I guess.
Yes.
But with Steven, I'm like, I don't...
Whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just chilling.
Just chilling. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. On the boat, Kurt is hanging out with Amanda once again. And we're getting in some more time with Amanda. We hear Amanda is such a great personality. So funny. Funny Amanda.
Here's the thing. I know that it's meant to be a compliment.
Yep.
But there are times where if someone is saying so much about somebody's personality,
yep,
it's like it sort of starts to feel like a backhanded compliment. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what I mean, Rob? Like, where it's just like, I feel like you're trying to say, I'm not physically attracted to her as much, but she's got a great person. You know what I mean? Like, she's mm-hmm. got a great personality. It just seems like a but, which I feel like is very unfair. And maybe I'm just speaking from some sort of like trauma of like
yeah.
being like, you know, I was like a girl that people were like, yeah, but you know, she's got a great personality. Mm-hmm. I really like, you know, Jenny's great. She's got a great person. Well, she's not that great looking, but you know, she's got a great personality. That's kind of what I'm getting hints of here because we are hearing so much about Amanda's personality mm-hmm. and that makes her
attractive. Interesting. This is interesting.
You know what I yeah. mean? It's like, he's not yeah. saying anything about his actual attraction to her.
Yeah. You feel like that if it was personality plus, then maybe he might describe her in a different way. Like, oh, Amanda is the total package.
Yes, exactly. It's like, and he also says nothing about Carolyn's
have not heard anything about Caro's personality.
Right. So it's just about like, she's beautiful. She's so attractive. There's a connection. And it's like, okay, what's the connection based on?
Mm-hmm.
And then with Amanda, he's just like, like at one point he was like, oh, just keep me laughing forever and like I'll like be in love for life or something like mm-hmm. that. It's just like, whoa. But he doesn't say anything else. It's just like
mm-hmm.
it almost just feels like he's trying to say, like he's almost trying to convince himself or he's just like, I like hanging out with this person more.
Yeah.
But I'm more attracted to this person.
Yeah.
And he's having this like debate in his head.
Would you say, is Amanda in the friend zone? Because she's like they're making out, they're kissing. I mean, I think that we saw where Sarah Rose would love to be in the zone that Amanda is in.
Well, I think that Sarah Rose would just like to be in the zone of
in a
something.
Zone. Yeah.
In the zone. So, but yeah, I don't know. Like, here's the thing is like, you know, someone having an attractive personality and, you know, having a good vibe with them, it definitely can enhance your attraction to mm-hmm. them. So I don't necessarily think that Amanda is stuck in the friend zone. It just kind of bothered me how all of the conversation is about her personality.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just felt a little one note. And Amanda isn't an unattractive person. You don't get cast on this show. Like, if you're unattractive, you know what I mean?
Martin would kick you out in a heartbeat if you were unattractive standards. And walked into Lakeshore Manor.
Mm-hmm. Not on his show.
No way.
And so, I don't know. I just feel like...
Security, get in here.
We caught a nuggo on our hands.
As we say in my country.
There's a troll under that bridge.
They wouldn't let you in.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Winston would not even give you a ride to the manor.
No. Mm-hmm. You're not getting mic'd up at all.
From what we can tell, they don't even let unattractive people work on the show.
Yeah. Sexy people only.
That's it. Or GTFO.
Hot singles.
Yeah.
Nothing but.
Yeah. Go work on a different show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's Hollywood, baby.
That's showbiz.
That's show business. We only want attractive people in front of and behind the camera.
Yeah. And I learned that through this show.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect this.
No. Well, now you know. Now you know how Hollywood works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hotties only.
Hotties only.
I just feel like Amanda deserves more. Like, I think it's great that she has a good personality and that she makes Kurt laugh. And that's very important. I think, you know, I would rather that be said about me than just someone just saying that I'm attractive. But I think that it's just the way that it's emphasized and not saying anything about her being attractive makes it feel like it's an insult. I don't know if I'm explaining this properly. People listening, they get it. Okay. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I understand your point completely.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I think I would be happy if anybody said anything positive one way or the other. I wouldn't be that picky.
No. But I just think that it would bother me if I'm Amanda watching this back and I ended up with Kurt and he's talking about how attracted he is to Carolyn all the time. And then he's like, yeah, she's funny. It's just like, could you say I'm hot once, please? Come on.
Come on, Kurt. Okay. All right. Well, let's check back in at the manor with Caro. Probably not a fun afternoon there.
No, she knows now that, you know, Kurt and Amanda have made out, and then he takes her on this boat date and takes Amanda on the boat date and not her. So she has to sit and wonder what's going on.
Okay. Meanwhile, back at the boat date. So Sarah Rose is able to pull Kurt away from Amanda's magnetic personality for a mere moment to say, hey, what's going on with us? Because I feel like I get the note and some stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, just like we haven't. You know, I want you to stay. Can I just say I want you to stay? So just like whatever, just like hang in there, okay? I'm gonna get back to you.
Which to me was like, a producer told me that I want you to stay.
Right. Right. And so then Kurt runs back to Amanda, I guess, magnetic personality, can't control it.
Yep.
He's, you know, in the field. And so Sarah says, that's it. I am going to make him fall in love with me. It's the ultimate revenge payback.
Gotcha, bitch.
Gotcha. Now you are under my love spell. That's what I'm going to do to you, Kurt.
Yep. And I'm going to shut you down so quick.
I'm going to make you love me. And then you can't have any of this, Kurt.
That sounds like a lot of work for, like, I don't know. Doesn't that sound exhausting? It's like, okay, So he's not in love with you. He's paying attention to another woman. Mm-hmm. So the revenge is now I actually have to work harder.
Right.
To make you like me.
Yeah.
Just to be like, yeah, well, now I don't like you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if Sarah Rose had the power to make Kurt fall in love with her, I feel like that she's picked the wrong spot to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, with these advantages, it's all about timing. It's knowing the right week to play it. And I just don't think that I don't think she chose the right time.
Jenny, let's talk about after the boat date. Back at the manor. Okay. Barbecue time. We're going to have a big barbecue. The party never ends.
Listen,
and we actually got some food.
Okay, there was food, yes.
They won a
reward.
There
was a turkey burger, I heard. The turkey burger was delicious.
Not to toot your own horn. Somebody made a good turkey burger. Okay.
Thank God they're eating.
Now, Suzanne starts to try and get cute here, okay?
Yes.
She's asking some probing questions to Kurt, and she violates the number one rule of Lakeshore Manor.
Don't ask.
Yeah. You don't have to ask questions.
I know. Stop being so inquisitive. You're here to look attractive and drink champagne.
That's it.
Not ask questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
It seemed well-intentioned from her confessional where she was like, I want to learn more about him because he must be smart if he owns his own business. But then he takes it as she's trying to find out if I'm rich.
Okay. We don't have time to think about Kurt. Okay. Because we do have to ask questions. I'm very sorry, Mark.
Don't ask.
Yeah, I have to. We have to. Okay. We have to talk about what is going on with Steven. Okay. Now, throughout the season, we've gotten we've been spoon fed a couple of interesting nuggets about Steven.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to see my mom 3 to 4 times a week. We actually work out together.
Okay.
Okay.
All the way through senior year of high school, my mom would pick out my clothes and be like, all right, you're going to wear this today.
Okay. All right. Okay. We raised an eyebrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
There were eyebrows. Right?
But there's a rumor going around the manor about Steven. And the rumor is this.
Rumor going around the house that you were spoon-fed until you were 11.
It's not a rumor. It's true.
Okay. You were spoon-fed until you were 11.
11. Like, I had to stop. It was one of those things where it's like, You hear what someone says and you say what, and then it takes you a second and you realize you heard what they said. That was my experience of hearing this line where I was like, wait, what? Oh, he has been spoon fed until he was 11.
Right. Steven grew up in a coma, right?
I'm trying to understand. I was like, I had a moment where I was like, oh my God, is there a traumatic story here?
Yeah.
Like,
sad.
Not again.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I was like, I was prepared to be like, oh, this is serious because we could be pivoting at any point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but no.
Yeah.
No.
There was a good reason.
Okay, Rob.
So you literally did not lift a spoon until the time you were 11.
School. I was tired. I was watching TV. And so, yeah, my mom would literally spoon feed before I went to school.
So he is at the table, but he's too tired to pick up the spoon. And mom is shoveling cereal into his mouth.
Is he he said he's watching TV. It's like, like this child has like narcolepsy or something like that. Like, is this Weekend at Bernie's?
If he has narcolepsy, then I think this is a choking hazard. I don't think you're supposed to put cereal
into the
mouth of a sleeping child.
Yeah, that seems unwise. If he could just fall asleep at any moment, that does not seem safe.
I mean, this is this is so disturbing.
Yeah, like I fully believe that Akiva fed himself by 11.
Akiva also loves cereal.
Yeah, he does. That's true. Mm-hmm. He definitely wouldn't. Yeah, he wanted to be in control of his cereal intake.
But I think he can feed himself cereal.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that he was holding his own spoon.
Now, is the cereal, if you leave it in the milk long enough, is it soggy enough to feed sleeping child?
Oh my God.
Like, what would be the ideal cereal? Like, you leave Rice Krispies, Jenny, in a bowl for 45 minutes.
I don't like thinking about this. Practically liquid. Cereal is disgusting to me.
Yeah.
I am shocked at this point that we're not getting a story about Steven's mom chewing the food and baby birding it into his mouth. Like, that's where we're teetering on at this point. You were spoon fed till 11. And what happened? All of a sudden at 11, it's just like, okay, you're old enough to hold your own spoon, Steven.
Mm-hmm. Like 11 is really old.
Yeah. Have you seen 11-year-olds these days?
Yeah.
They're like smarter than I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Logical explanation.
Oh, I really did not lift a spoon until the time that you were 11.
School, I was tired. I was watching TV. And so, yeah, my mom would literally spoon feed before I went to school.
Yeah. I mean, he's not saying like I couldn't keep my eyes open because I was so tired. He's like, no, I'm watching TV and I'm tired. And so...
Like, if I'm Annie having this conversation with him at this moment, I'm like, this is the millionaire.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no way. Like, your mom spoon fed you. Like,
yeah.
That's literally like you were born with the silver spoon. You know what I mean? Being fed to you until age 11 by your mom.
Right. Right. You can't be that lazy and be poor.
No.
Yeah.
You just can't.
You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, that's generational money. It's like,
generational wealth. It's that my kids are so loaded that they don't even pick up a spoon.
Yeah, I hired someone to spoon feed them.
Yeah, we're not one of those families that pays someone to feed our kids. We do it. We do it ourselves. We feed our own 11-year-old still. The money hasn't changed us.
Do you think that maybe now he has hired someone to feed him a cereal in the morning because his hands are like he's investing in stonks and stuff like that. Like his hands are going at the keyboard. He can't spare a hand.
Oh, maybe.
To feed himself because he's investing or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't strike me as sort of like a big computer guy, Steven. But maybe he's like playing Xbox and then he like have somebody like, maybe that's the role that Kurt's auditioning for is to be the new. Is that what Martin the Butler does now?
He's always wearing gloves. So. This is probably so you just don't get like Steven's drool on your hands.
Probably. OK. All right. So Amanda is back hanging out with Kurt. Carolyn is pissed. She's going to stop this. She's going to show him exactly what he's missing. Carolyn has said this a couple times in this episode. That she gets to Kurt and she's like, hey, like, will you let me in?
Which, like, I feel like he was doing nothing but letting her in. And she was the one that kind of pushed him away.
Mm-hmm. And said, you need to go date all these other women.
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
She had to have been asking herself that at this point. Mm-hmm. Why did I say that?
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Okay. She does get back to kissing Kurt.
Yeah. Because she said that like she liked how he was the night before because he was honest.
Yeah.
So apparently he's just not been honest, which I feel like he's been like almost too honest where he was like, yeah, I just really don't like the ex situation. Like there was like that weird moment where they were talking at the movie theater and he was like, yeah, I know I really like you. It's just like, there's still some stuff that I got to get used to, like the kid and the ex, mostly the ex. It's just like, Kurt, you're talking too much, sweetie. Like, you need to stop.
It's too much.
He's too honest.
Too honest. Too much information.
Love, he's loving honestly, you know?
Love honesty. Yeah. Okay. So we are going to see the guys. They're going to put in some workout time, Jenny.
Yeah, everyone's favorite is the workout. Have you noticed Kurt has a tattoo on his like stomach area that just says like life is pain?
Life is pain. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I just want like a tour of his tattoos.
Not the worst tattoo I've seen on reality TV this week.
I think I know which one you're referring to, and I have to agree.
Not the worst.
Yeah, could be worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could be quicker.
Quicker. Yeah. Okay. So, and the guys are having their guy talk. Steven is talking to Kurt about Carolyn. And Steven asks Kurt, he's like, so, Carolyn, so you think she thinks that you're rich or poor? And I thought if I was Kurt, I was like, all right, come on. You don't have to say the P word.
That felt like such a staged conversation where Steven, like, say something to get the conversation about whether Carolyn might be interested in Kurt for money. And it's like, no one has called Kurt poor at any point. That's the whole thing. He's not. Steven.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe that's why, you know, you have to put the spoon in his mouth. Is he? It's like putting the foot in the mouth. It's like, Steven, stop saying these things.
All right, Jenny, we need to talk about something very serious that's going on. Okay. Sarah,
I'm ready.
She is going to make Kurt fall in love with her. And it's a diabolical plan.
She is the mastermind.
She is the mastermind. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sarah is, seeing a lot of shots of the crew, and there's one person who has really caught her attention. There is a person that works on the production. His name is Winston, and here's what Sarah wants to do.
I want his, like, I want out of him.
Okay. Now, this is, I think, the third time I've heard this now.
Yeah.
She wants to bleep the bleep out of him.
Bleep the bleep out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I hope that's a metaphor.
It has to be, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise, that's, you know, Sarah is like, that's too much. It's too much.
Like, is he gassy too?
I want his, like, I want out of him.
Now,
we're going to have a mess on our hands.
Yeah. Jenny, that I'm hoping that you could provide some insight into this. Like, is this a common euphemism that young women are saying to the other young women? Because I only know what the young women are saying on Euphoria.
Okay, well,
that's basically my baseline of what young women are saying to each other.
I'm flattered that you would look to me as some sort of authority on being a young woman and putting me in the same bracket as Sarah Rose, young 22-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I don't think that rolls off the tongue in like casual conversation. Like, I definitely feel like that was for effect, right?
Who's the effect? I mean, was Kurt standing right there? Is it just to get back to Kurt?
Here's the thing. What we've learned about Sarah is she's very jealous. She's insecure. She said it herself. We're not wrong to say this. She has said this about herself. And I think that Sarah is kind of flexing to the other women because she knows she's not connecting with Kurt. And so she's kind of like, I'm making a connection elsewhere. Like,
it's more than a connection.
It's a whole lot of connection.
She's calling her shot. Yeah, she's going to get his number, but that there is one small flaw in her plan, because there is somebody, the narkiest narc of all time.
Yeah. Snitches get stitches, like they say in my country. Like
they say in my country. This rat.
Yeah.
Martin the butler, he turned up his nose, like he gave her the stink eye when he heard that she was into Winston, the production guy.
And he wastes no time. Beelines out of there to find the guys.
I hated Martin so much for doing this. Hated him.
I
what
mean,
a weasel.
It, like, what? The betrayal.
Yes.
Like, he's supposed to be, like, the keeper. You know what I mean?
Ultimate and it's betrayal. Like,
this was a true, like bros before yo's or something, you know?
Yo's?
Well, I don't know. Can I say hoes on this podcast?
I think you can. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just felt like that's what Martin is flexing in this moment, where he's just like not this young trollop trying to, like, you know, swindle these fine young blokes.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I just felt like he, at that moment where his true loyalties were exposed here, and he said, you know, I'm with the guys. Like, these are my bros, and bye.
Guys meeting, because
there is somebody here who is not here for the right reasons.
Oh wow. Yes, somebody
is that not copy that doesn't have a copyright here for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not. Somebody is here to F the S out of one of the production people.
Which, like, this is this one-sided? Like, I feel like it was kind of being painted as, like, there's something going on between her and Winston, but, like, it's just her saying he's hot.
Yeah, well.
So.
But they're like, oh, my God, what's wrong? You need to tell us. We need to know. We need to know this information. Martin, what do you know? And he reveals.
This particular lady was discussing that she had, shall we say, the hots for a gentleman.
And as they say in my country, the willies. He makes her randy.
Yes. As they say in my country, she wanted to Roger the feces right out of him.
not the feces. Oh, no. Oh, man.
Yeah, I just.
That she had, shall we say, the hots.
The hots. I mean, Martin is a gift. Let's just get in front of that first. But, bro, why are you taking this drama away from us? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we want to watch this unfold.
What I'm guessing here is that Sarah Rose might have become unhinged on the set. And I think that they say, all right, time. We got to pull the plug on this.
Yeah. This isn't going to work out. And, you know, if you're going to start disrupting, like, what's happening behind the camera.
Right. Like, she's probably being Martin already had an issue with her from, remember last week when interrupted the ceremony? Yeah. So he already had a good hate into her.
Yeah. Martin is beefing with Sarah Rose, like, straight up.
She's not taking this seriously.
This is the true rivalry of the season. Like, they thought that they were hoping that Kurt and Steven might like end up going for like the same women and that it might be like dramatic. No. It's like, oh, I'm rich. Like, I'm going to get this woman. No, they're getting along famously. Like, the true drama is like, who is Martin going to expose? Mm-hmm. Who is Martin beefing with? Because he holds all the power.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just holding bells and feather dusters. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the puppet master of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so just like that, he is able to get Sarah Rose eliminated from the show and that they have time for elimination. The gentlemen have requested to speak to one of you in private.
And that woman is?
Sarah Rose.
Sarah Rose.
Like, yes.
I feel like it was just built up and it's just so awkward. It was just like,
yeah,
this is the elimination, but also like, okay, they just want to talk to one of you in private. It's like,
yeah,
you shouldn't have said that this is the elimination. Like, you should have said like, just say Sarah Rose, like the men would like to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then like, but it's just like, okay, so is this the elimination?
Right.
Like, what's going on?
And then they brought the two guys in to talk to her. And they're like, how could you do this to us? How could you like somebody else when you're supposed to be here to fall in love with one of us? And we got rid of people that would have been in love with us. And we
Doris.
Kept you. And you then like a different person that's not one of the two. You are allowed to like two people. That's it.
We get to like up to 20 people.
We can,
you
shall
have
we
choices.
Say, have the hots for as many people as we want.
Yeah.
You have two options, A or yeah. B. Yeah.
You are eating from a very limited menu, and mm-hmm. I'm not just talking about the salad, okay?
That's it. That's it. There's no third option here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Sarah got done so dirty. Like, that might have just been the first time that she said something. Like, mm-hmm. probably didn't know she was mic'd or something
right.
like that. And was just like, yeah, that guy's hot. Also, she saw the writing on the wall. Like, I think that she was very much sensing that she wasn't, you know, she wasn't connecting with Kurt quickly enough. And she talks a lot about, like, I'm wasting my time here. You know, she's just a young entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
She's just looking at her next opportunity.
Yep.
She's, you know, one foot in the next door before she's out the last one.
Yep. And that they said, she's just here for clout. She just mm-hmm. wants to be here. And I'll tell you what. Guess how many Instagram followers she has, Jenny?
Love this game. I'm going to say 60,000.
Add 100,000, 164,000 followers.
Wow.
So,
I mean, she's a very pretty girl. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
She's clearly a businesswoman.
She's a businesswoman. Winston.
She might be worth more than Kurt.
Might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. She's a star, okay?
I mean,
she doesn't need
doing fine.
She doesn't need this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got her three episodes and I don't know how many followers she gained from this. The followers
she probably had them already.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like she's probably like one of the only people that
she probably
like,
lost
than, like,
followers to go on this. Said, oh, she's on Joe Millionaire.
Post like content.
Yeah, although she does have in her bio Joe Millionaire season one. I have to, Sarah. I have news for you. Sit down,
Rob,
Sarah.
She's 22. She didn't know.
Sarah, I have to tell you something. This is actually Joe Millionaire season three.
Yeah. Technically,
yeah,
it is season three.
Mm-hmm. But maybe she doesn't want people to watch this one. Maybe she wants people to watch the first one.
Yeah, she's like that guy Evan Marriott.
She was like, did they have like a cut to like a shot of a baby in the first one?
Wow. Maybe she's a baby.
Yes, that was her. A baby.
Literally her.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
Wow.
It's okay. She couldn't have known.
She didn't know. And hopefully, maybe she, her and Winston are married.
So, can we talk about...
Yeah.
I just feel like that's the beginning of every great love story. can we talk about Winston and his name?
Yes, please. This was a Jenny Autumn discovery.
Yeah. I'm very detail oriented.
Yes.
I catch all of these things.
Yes.
During the credits, and the preview for next week, I noticed that there was a credit line for a Winston Churchill.
Yes. The great leader.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sure Martin is familiar.
Yeah, as we say in my country, yes, the former prime minister.
Yes. But we did some research.
And yes.
I was like, is that a joke? Like, are they, because I also saw that Martin the Butler, tweeted Winston Churchill. And then he wrote, hashtag IYKYK. If you know, you know,
if you know, you know.
And so I thought he was making a cheeky joke, like he was trying to say that this Winston was like Winston Churchill, which I was like trying to figure out what that analogy is. And no, he's literally just saying this man's name is Winston Churchill. Mm-hmm. This is not fake.
Mm-hmm.
He has an IMDb page.
Imagine. Your family are the Churchills, and then you name your beautiful, handsome son Winston Churchill. I guess you envision that he is going to one day be a world leader. Instead, he's a man who goes on Joe Millionaire that influencers want to F the S.
He's not the rich guy or the less rich guy on Joe Millionaire. He's just the stage manager on Joe Millionaire for richer or poorer.
Yeah, he's Mr. Steal Joe Millionaire's Girl. The best job of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, because, you know, we only saw a couple shots of him masked up. This photo on his IMDb page. Okay, Sarah, I get it.
Yeah.
He's very handsome. He's like, I sort of understand where Sarah's coming from at this point. She's like, why am I trying to fight for the attention of these two guys when this guy who talks to me more is hotter?
What else has Winston Churchill worked on? Okay, so Winston Churchill. So he has worked on Joe Millionaire.
Okay.
He worked on the show The Chase, and he worked on America's Funniest Home Videos. Not during the Bob Saget
era.
I think during the Alfonso Ribeiro era. AFV, they call it in the industry.
Right.
Yes.
So, I mean, lots of work, I guess. All of this is 2020 and later, so.
Yeah. He's an up and comer.
Yeah, I'm guessing that Winston is in Sarah's age bracket.
He
might not even know that this is not season one of Joe Millionaire.
He may not know
the show he works on.
Yes. Okay. does he think it's season one of America's Funniest Home Videos?
Probably.
Wow, this is a hot new show, AFV.
Yeah, this is a new concept.
Yes.
This is fail videos.
Okay. Next week, Jenny. So we're gonna go camping, right?
Yeah, there's always a fight at camping. So
yes.
I think that's wise.
That's
to bring
wise.
The drama. Mm-hmm.
And then seems like that the gentleman needs to do something dramatic, we get told.
Yeah.
What could be more dramatic than this week?
I don't know. I mean, this week delivered, like you said, two women got eliminated.
Yeah.
And there was no proper elimination ceremony. Like, Like, they essentially, you know, got removed. That's dramatic.
There are still 12 women vying for Joe Millionaire. We are 4 episodes in.
And Kurt is very interested in 2 of them. And Steven is mediocre on 10 of them.
We are being spoon-fed hour after hour of this show.
Yes. I might be choking.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you think that maybe it's going to be like a big elimination where they're like, at this point, we need to just like be able to spend enough time with like our top 2 or 3 choices. And
what are they gonna do? Go on a dream date?
What is a dream date, Rob?
I don't know. But I don't think we're gonna get this down to like 3 women. Like, I don't know.
Listen, they've got to wrap this show up soon.
Yeah, right? I think the show the show knows that. I think it's this show is about like the insanity that happens with keeping all these women in the house together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and that's why you wouldn't want to reduce that. However, I do think that there is other drama to be had when, you know, you get into a situation like Kurt is starting to get into where he's like seriously interested in Caro, and is seriously interested in Amanda. And now it's like he's going back and forth between the two of them and giving them equal amounts of time. And so I like, you could get drama from that when it's a little bit more focused and there's more going on between those people.
But also, he's not Joe Millionaire.
Rob,
we don't care what the poor guy is gonna pick.
Well, first of all,
what does it matter?
It's not poor.
What only matters is what the rich person picks.
Rob, are you a gold digger? You only care about the rich one.
Well, that's the stole show. Right? Don't you want to see who ends up with
That's why it's confusing. It's like, okay, so when the women find someone chooses Kurt.
Yeah, if Kurt was the one who was rich, then okay. Oh, we would have something. But it's like, okay, if these women want to be with Kurt, it's just like, then we're going to see like the look on their face of like, haha, you idiots. He was you picked the one that was not rich. Do you want to stay with him or no?
Yeah. And it's like, there's not going to be a situation where they're like, actually, no, I'm going to choose Steven, because I think that's the part of the problem with like the guys, like becoming friends and like they're working together. Cause like they've very clearly had to be like, okay, like I'm not going to step on your toes. You're not going to step on my toes. We have different like types or whatever. Like, couldn't this have manufactured more drama if like these men never met and they like stayed in different like quarters and they were having like separated dates and they like didn't know who the other one was like going for and like building connections with, so that like you could actually get these situations where the women were potentially like equally interested in both of them, and they're not like,
but the real rich guy could be like, listen, I'm the real rich guy, you know.
They know Winston's on the case. He's not going to. Well, more than Winston, Martin is listening everywhere.
Well, Martin works for the rich guy. He doesn't work for the poor guy.
He doesn't work for either of these men.
I don't know. But yeah,
I just think that would be more like, I think that they maybe hoped that there would be like, is she going to choose the rich guy or the not rich guy? But it's like, it's more so just going to be like, who are they going to pick, I guess? And then are they going to be disappointed when they find out whether they're rich or not? Like, yeah. I don't know. That's the part I'm really struggling with, is like, where does this go? Because you have a way more interesting storyline if it's like, you know, like The Bachelor, when The Bachelor gets down to 2 women and he chooses one of them.
Yeah.
Like, and he, you know, finds out that one is like the poor one. I don't know. I just,
yeah.
I love this part of the podcast where we just come up with other concepts for shows or like how it could be done differently.
Yeah.
Because I like the, as much as I love the bromance between them, I like the idea of like the other one not knowing what's going on between him and the other, and they're going on dates with the same women.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, just, I don't know. That look, you are asking questions, and the first rule in this house,
don't ask.
Yeah. Okay, Jenny, I sort of low key started a Twitter question thread.
Okay,
I tweeted out earlier tonight. I watched Joe Millionaire 3 weeks in a row. AMA. Okay.
Okay. What are the questions?
Okay. Well, I want to highlight a tweet from Layla C, who I remember last week when I retweeted the house of Caro and Kurt. Yeah. I want to highlight Layla C, who tagged me in the tweet. In this house, we ship Sarah and Winston. with the house.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Layla. Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Let's see. Joel F says, are you longing for scum at this point? Mm-hmm.
What's the answer?
I don't know.
Rob, I don't know anything about SCOM, so I can't be on that podcast. Yeah.
Oh,
so answer carefully.
Yeah. Jenny, the great Clarence Black responded to my tweet. He said, why? You're better than that. Okay, I'll take that from Clarence.
Hey, that's okay. That's a compliment. That's like nice to you.
Yeah, that was nice. Okay.
Yeah.
How about Jordan Chong? Was that, how much do you think Winston makes?
I mean, looks like he's still early in his career. His first thing on his IMDb is 2020. So when he was live from the red carpet, the 2020 Academy Awards stage manager. So he's working behind the scenes at the Academy Awards.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he probably makes a lot of money.
Do you think he makes more or less than Kurt?
More or less than Kurt? I mean, I think he probably makes less, but I think this is more like gig work working on Joe Millionaire. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, like, you don't make like $50,000 a year working on Joe Millionaire. It's like you work there for let's see. Sam Moore, you want to shoot us a message behind the scenes. How much do you think that Winston Churchill is getting weekly working on Joe Millionaire?
Rob, I think that all of the replies to this question you asked are just why.
There's a lot of, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kristen asking.
Yeah. Eric Reichenbach.
Jordan Kalish. Can we get a Sarah and Winston spinoff?
Sure. I had no idea Jordan Kalish was watching this.
I know. Didn't know. I don't know this either.
So there you go.
Seeds, baby.
So
that's what Sarah was looking for from Winston.
Yikes. Eric Reichenbach replied with a, what about these sexy beasts? Hashtag sexy beasts at Netflix. Is Eric Reichenbach know about your coverage of sexy beasts?
He must not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, Eric, if you enjoy Rob and I talking about this.
Yes, you'll love sexy beasts. Ava wants to know, any catchphrases you've picked up from the show?
What do you think? Don't ask.
She had, shall we say, the hots.
The hots.
Don't ask.
You know what? I'm going to give him a little bit of the sass.
The sass.
Jenny's literally like shaking.
Yeah, this is a lot of catchphrases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've provided some good sound bites.
Yeah. And then maybe we got the best catchphrase of them all.
No one here is a normal person.
I use that on the daily, so.
Yeah. Okay. Becky wasn't. How does it feel to be a leading expert authority on Joe Millionaire?
How does it feel, Rob?
I mean, I got pretty good, I guess. I feel, right?
I just, you know, I like feeling like an authority on something for once in my life. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes. Best Actress Award winner Andrea said, "See you next week, winky face."
Oh wow!
She's calling her shot.
You know, I love a confident woman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You say that now, but then, you know, Kara was talking tough last week too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My tune could change.
Okay. Sam Moore has done some number crunching. He thinks that Winston Churchill could make like between $20 to $25 an hour. So stage manager could maybe make, he thinks that maybe about $1,500 a week based on 12-hour days of 8-hour base with 4 hours of time and a half. Is that more than you wanted to know, Jenny?
I told Sam before the show that math is not my strong suit, so I'm just seeing a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
We did.
Okay.
This is what we get for asking.
All right. So there you go. All right, Jenny, I have to say I was overwhelmed once again with the number of Apple Podcast reviews we got in the last couple of days.
The Millie gang shows up, okay?
They show up.
And I love that about them.
Rebecca Foshow wrote, "Yum, 5 stars. This podcast is as good as a pint of a glass of milk and a wedge salad with balsamic."
Mmm. Being spoon-fed to us by mom.
Being spoon-fed. Weekly Joe Millionaire is a review posted by Cateroo90. As they say in my country, give me Joe Millionaire pods or give me death.
Listen, we don't want to be condemning anyone to death. We're not in that business.
Yes, okay. So many of the Joe Millionaire podcast reviews love Rob and Jenny 100 Air's take on the show. They def keep it in perspective.
Yes, we do keep it in perspective.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that this was great. This was great. But it's not enough. Okay. Tell your that Jenny, how many reviews do we need to come back next week?
Okay, what did we say last week?
I don't know. I think I said it was.
We've been. Was, I think we said 11.
11.
I think it was 11.
11.
So we're going backwards. Okay.
Going backwards. So
is that how is that reasonable? Where it's like, you know, we can't expect.
How about this?
A couple episodes.
There
in
needs
to
be.
Reviews.
One review for every woman left in the house. Okay.
Oh, okay.
12. Okay. There's 12 women, 12 reviews. Ask your parents if you have to, if you already left
Make
one.
Make them an iTunes account. How,
you have roommates.
Yeah.
You have coworkers. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Search for Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. Click on the button to go to Apple Podcasts and you go right there. 12.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like you have to look at it this way. We are the sleepy 11-year-old child and you are our mom, and these reviews are
we're
the spoon
tired.
Of cereal.
We watch TV and we can't keep our eyes open to do these podcasts.
Exactly. You need to fuel us. Spoon feed us these reviews so that we can be given the energy to continue podcasting about Joe Millionaire.
Yeah. And then, you know, shall we say that we have the hots to keep going?
Yes.
Yes.
One could hope.
Yes. And if you write a funny review, we'll read it on the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That helps.
Okay. All right.
Don't ask.
Jenny, what's coming up for you?
Time will tell. I don't know.
We'll see.
If if the reviews will come be
12,
through.
12 reviews this week.
I'll keep my Thursday evening free. Mm-hmm. If you want to hit me up.
Well, at least for one more week, because then there's Celebrity Big Brothers is going
to
start.
Yes. I'm starting to get a little excited for that. I'm someone that, like, I don't get excited for Big Brother until like very, very close.
Yes.
To like all of the theorizing on Twitter about who's going to be in the house. Like
Evan Marriott.
I mean, that's realistic. Mm-hmm. Not some of these other lists that you're seeing.
He's hot, like, now because Joe Millionaire is back.
Yeah.
And influencers are talking about Joe Millionaire 1.
The original.
Yeah. Okay.
Season 1.
Christina writes on Twitter, if you/the show actually makes it to episode 7, will Keeve 26 join you and Jenny Autumn for the recap, since this is technically season 3 of Joe Millionaire?
Please.
That's what people are asking.
I would love that.
Wow.
I would love that. Yeah. I think that that's the official ask, right?
Well, I talked about the premiere of Too Hot to Handle this week on Nothing But Netflix, that Kirsten McInnes joined Chappelle and I, that we crossed the streams of Nothing But Netflix and the brand new Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed, where Kirsten is going to be covering all of Too Hot to Handle. We covered episode 1 and 2. Kirsten has a recap coming up of episodes 3, 4, 5, 6 of Too Hot to Handle.
That's Jenny, a lot of Too Hot to Handle.
Yes. When are you jumping in?
I think later in the
finale.
Yeah, I think the finale is when I'm hopping.
So Kirsten is going to have 3, 4, 5, 6, but we will have a special season 3, episode 7 of Too Hot to Handle with myself and Akiva Winokur joining Kirsten McInnes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be done. Like, if any show has a season 3, episode 7, call Keevy up. Like,
yes. Don't you want to get Akiva's takes on Too Hot to Handle?
So I just watched the premiere today,
yeah,
and I absolutely want to know what he thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Phil, I watched the premiere with Phil.
What'd
and he said, I will not be watching the next episode, because I said I want to watch episode 1 and 2 today so that I can go listen to Nothing But Netflix at, like, right after. And so I watched episode 1 and he said, I will not be watching episode 2 with you. This has been fun, but see you never.
See you never. Okay. All right. All right. Well, is Phil watching this show?
He didn't tonight.
Okay.
But
wait till, like, he hears about Daddy Winston on this episode.
Well, he listens to the podcast. I think he's one of the many people that just listens to us describe everything that happens. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Of course, Amazing Race is in full swing. We had our first Amazing Race exit interview of the season as well. And then, of course, 90 Day Fiance is going on. And then we'll get back to more Renap this weekend. And a brand new show, Jenny. The weekly Best of Rob Has a Podcast. The weekly Rehap Up, where we're going to capture all of the best stuff every single week and bring it to you.
Is that the official name?
Yep. I think we were overthinking it.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to go with, you know, what it literally is. It's the weekly Rehap Up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see if anything from tonight made it.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Something. Something's got to. Yeah.
There's got to be.
Right? Got to be something. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to us. And we'll see if 12 more reviews come in. Be back next week to talk more about Joe Millionaire. As they say in my country, we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye.